We do thank the Lord for the gift of song and all the praises to Him this morning. And our lives really do sound like that throughout the week as we walk with Christ and trust Him. An old friend of mine told me one time that he thought the whole world was a sanctuary in which God's people would worship Him. And this is one of the blessings of the church life here, a beautiful sanctuary to come and worship God. And if you can take the sanctuary and just in your mind expand it to everything that God has made, the world being a sanctuary in which to worship God. When I heard that, first I thought, I don't think I agree with that. I think you're not right. But then I thought, if that's true, my capacity to worship God just increased about 1,000 times per week. If everywhere I go is a chance and a place to worship God. My friend went on to tell me some verses from the Bible. He said, remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Remember, God's word says, heaven is God's throne and the earth is God's footstool. Footstool. And back in those days, a footstool was a place where you came to meet with a person, to honor them, to give a gift of your love to them. And the whole earth, God's footstool. And he said, remember Psalm 50, let everything, 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So you and I, the wonderful closeness to Christ that we feel when we gather together, he desires that we meet him on the way in the ups and downs of life as opportunities and acts to worship him. I think that's a biblical truth that the whole world is a sanctuary to worship God that can really change our hearts on an everyday basis. The Bible says when Jesus rose from the dead, when the disciples saw him, they worshiped him. And then they went back to the temple to praise him continuously. And if you think of everybody who met Christ in the Bible, the risen Lord, worshiped him in some manner. They were taken back by who he was. And God invites us to have that same kind of relationship. Way back in the 1960s, A.W. Tozier preached a series of sermons entitled Worship, the Chief Purpose of Man. Worship, the Chief Purpose of Man. I heard a question the other day. Somebody asked the question, how do I get happiness and contentment in my life? How do I get happiness and contentment in my life? And the person who answered was a Christian. They said, well, have a purpose. Have a purpose. That brings happiness and contentment. If you don't have a purpose, you'll be floundering around. They went on to say, if you have temporary purposes and temporary things you throw your heart into, then you'll have temporary happinesses. Very short-lived. Very fleeting. But if you have an eternal purpose from God, if Christ and worshiping Him is your eternal purpose, then each day you'll have joy and meaning, contentment and happiness in your life. And what a great picture of a daily opportunity to worship God. If you were to ask me, and I wasn't thinking much about it, you said, hey, Bob, when do you worship God? When do you worship God? I might say, well, when I'm at home, I turn some Christian music on, and that gets me going a little bit. Or my devotional time, that's an important time. And, of course, 8:30, 10:45, Sunday. You might say, well, what do you do with the rest of your life? Now, who do you worship then? You got me. Good question. When do you worship God? Obviously, worship is a lot more than just what we do together. Singing, preaching, praying. We expand to meet God wherever we go. Could you and I, what if you and I for this week and throughout our life saw every thought, every word, every action and attitude as an expression of worship to God? Our thinking, our words, our actions, our attitude. An expression of worship to God. We do this out of thanks to God for Him rising from the dead. He did everything for us. Forgiveness of sins and fellowship. And even in the everyday, sometimes tough-it-out world that you and I live in, opportunities to worship God. I may have shared before, once I worked as a busboy in a restaurant. To me, I found that a hard place to worship God. I didn't understand why I had to put the forks and the knife so straight for all the ungrateful customers who came in. For the forks and knives I put out, I thought, I don't do this at home. Why should I do this for these dear people? But then I was talking to somebody about that. They said, why don't you set the table as if you were setting the table for Jesus who would come and eat lunch? I said, oh, that's good. I'm motivated now to want to honor God with what I do, the simple thing of setting a table. If I would want to honor Jesus like that, maybe I should want to honor the people he made like that with some thanks to God that we even have a chance to eat those kind of things. Springtime is also a time of rapid growth for many, and the tedious and repetitious act of mowing the lawn, which I experienced 3 times in the past 2 days because I didn't do it since last year. So the grass is this high, and I'm thinking, well, there's only three ways to mow this lawn in terms of my attitude. One is out of great pride in myself and the dirt and grass. And after mowing, you know, I have the best lawn in Westmoreland County, and I hope you're all green about that. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to look at it as drudgery and duty. Got to do this, got to get this done so I can move on to something much more meaningful in my life. That thought crossed my mind numerous times. But there's another way. An act, thank you, God, for the strength to do this. Thank you, God, that you're sending rain and not drought. Thank you, God, for things that are green. They're so beautiful. An act of worship by how I did it. I even did it a little bit extra specially. Each act, each thought, an act of worship to him. God is so great in the Psalms to show us when he is worshiped. Psalm 41. This is a wonderful discovery. Praise be to God from everlasting to everlasting. Do you ever think how long everlasting was? For some, it's the length of a sermon. From everlasting to everlasting. Will it ever be over? But in the Bible, it describes the life of God. Cannot be measured. From everlasting to everlasting, he is praised. Did you know God was praised before time existed? Did you know God was worshipped and praised before Adam and Eve were created? Sometimes we feel that worship, you know, if we don't worship, God won't be worshipped. God is worshipped from all eternity past. And we're invited to join in that worship of everything he made and the angels praising him. And people, redeemed people, get to sing special songs of thanks to God for the work of Christ. In the book of Revelation, it shows how Christ is the center of that worship experience. There was an angel that showed up to John the Apostle. And I don't know about you, and it wouldn't be great if an angel showed up in worship today. There was some of that last week going on, I think. But John was so taken back by that experience, he fell down and wanted to say, thank you, angel, for being an angel or some act of worship. And the angel said, no. Worship God. Worship God. Because he deserves the worship. He is great and wonderful and loving. And when you and I remember that the whole creation is a sanctuary to worship God, we worship him at work, in the home, in the school, in the conversation. As the Bible says in Psalm 113, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, may the name of the Lord be praised all the time. And this takes away the hypocrisy factor of church life and worship time, which we are all susceptible to. Did you ever come to a church service and feel a little bit awkward? And I'm singing and I haven't sung to the Lord all week, so it's just not... doesn't seem to be in from my heart to praying. I pray and I haven't talked to God much, so I'm just kind of stumbling, looking in his word. Haven't heard from him. And all that comes as a result from the way we've been throughout the week. The way we've worshiped God throughout the week is brought into this dear sanctuary, and that's what we give to the Lord, good, bad, or indifferent. And if it's bad or indifferent, together is an opportunity to get reacquainted to Him and how great He is. But the Lord can help us change our heart about Him and about worshiping Him. The whole creation being a place to worship God, by the way, is a great motivation to come and gather as His people. Friday night when the young people gathered, they were worshiping the Lord a little bit in song. And one small group, there was about six of them, tried to get the wave going. You know where the wave is. Wave is you go to some sporting event and one person does it and then a couple others do it. Well, this wasn't going over. There was only about six of them who did it. So the joy and the praise to God was minimal. But what if they all did that in unison, in harmony, with one accord? We're just here to praise Christ. I've been in football stadiums where 50,000 people have done the wave. That was a lot of enthusiasm for the pigskin. God's people gather to say, with one heart, we thank you, Jesus. It is a great praise and thanks to Him. Christ at the center of worship in all we do, gathered and as we go, takes precedence over the particulars of worship that are so important to our hearts. Sometimes I feel like we should just sing for the whole time we're together. Or how about preaching for the whole time together? The particulars are means, not keys, to worshiping God. Worship is from the heart, primarily. I could worship God with my lips. My heart could be far from Him. Eugene Peterson, who paraphrased the Bible, tells a story about leading in a worship time and having his little son, who was about a year and a half or so, climb out of the pew, get in the aisle and start playing with his toy, a little rubber ducky or something. And he's leading worship, of course, and half of his heart is singing or praying and half of his heart is, why is my son in the middle of the aisle? I wish somebody come and get him or whatever. And then he had this thought. He said, was my son's playing any less glorifying to God than my singing or my praying? Our singing and our praying are often less than innocent or wholehearted to God. The son's playing was, he was so glad to be where he was and to have that little gift, whoever gave it to him. It was a praise to God. And sometimes we can learn a lot from children in terms of what worship is. The Bible says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. And it's just a plug for nursery service, you know. We worship the Lord in the sanctuary. Worship the Lord in the nursery. Takes a little more effort in there. Sometimes there's more zeal in there. But that's good. Worship as a Christ-centered activity. So three applications that I invite you to make from the Scripture. Number one, and most difficult, I think, for us, worship the Lord at work. Wherever you are working, in the home or outside the home. Worship the Lord at work. I knew a fellow named Cliff Armstrong years ago. Became a Christian late in life, I think in his 60s or so. He was a painter, that is, he painted houses inside. And he said after he received Christ, when he would paint, he had a totally different motivation for painting. He described to his wife that every stroke of the brush became a praise to God. What a thing. Whatever you get into. Just an expression of worship to God. And when he came to church, when he came to the gathered people of God, you know what happened? He sat just over in this section kind of in the church I was at. The whole section where he worshiped, he pretty much carried that whole section. Because he had been worshiping the Lord throughout the week so much that when he came, how he felt about the Lord was almost like it was a contagious blessing that was passed on to others. You could be that kind of example of worship of God. Worshiping Him throughout the week, you come to praise His name, and the Lord actually blesses people around you because of your heart You build up the church besides giving thanks to God. Second act of worship is to worship the Lord with whatever emotional state you find yourself in. You worship from the heart, but you offer those emotions to Him. Worship is not always with tremendous joyful emotions outwardly, you might say. Sometimes it's with brokenness. Sometimes it's with dryness. So you say, Lord, you're the water. I need you today. I'm totally dry. Once there was a man who worshiped God who was very down and despondent. In fact, the only thing he could do was cry. He spent the majority of his days crying. He said he cried so much that his couch was wet. Some of you have cried that way at home when you're going through different troubles. Someone asked him, what are you doing? He said, I'm worshiping God. It was King David in Psalm 6. He said, my eyes were weak with tears. Weak. Because I was broken, but I wanted to spend that time with God. He certainly spends the time with me when I'm joyful. Why wouldn't He spend the time with me when I'm broken or dry or maybe there's just nothing there? He would love us there. We offer that to Him as a way to worship. Worship God when you're broken. A broken heart He won't despise. If we were all broken hearted this morning, we would really feel close to the Lord. He won't despise the broken heart. If you're broken because of your own sin or being away from the Lord, that's a good brokenness. And then worship the Lord in the decisions about life you make and even your own sense of loving and stewardship toward people around you. Once there was a poor woman who went to a convenience store. She had four children at home and they were all hungry and they all needed shoes. So she goes to the store. She has $2 in her pocket. She goes to the store and she sees the Powerball machine. There. Jackpot. $30 million. She's thinking, I can feed my kids and a lot of kids and get them a lot of shoes with that $30 million. She thinks of her children, thinks of her life. She goes by the Powerball machine, gets a quart of milk, goes and pays for the quart of milk with her $2. She walks out of the store thanking God for her children and for a chance to show some loving care to them. In the Song of Solomon, it talks about what love really is. It says, many waters can't quench love. If you traded all the wealth you could muster up for love, the wealth would be scorned. Ah, scorned. If there's anything I know about people, I know this. People who would know Christ. In your hearts, God would confirm this by His Spirit. You would trade all the wealth in the world. Or if you were offered that, that would not interest you at all compared to one moment to worship the living Savior. One moment to worship Him because He is so wonderful and great. You've tasted and seen the Lord is good. How many moments of worship do you want this week? Check out at noon until we gather again at 10:45, or the sanctuary awaits, where we would go and worship Him. Everything that had breath would praise Him. You begin worship by having that heart trust. The song that was sung today, Dennis and Joanne, that could be your song if it's not. Loved and forgiven, a sinner saved by grace. The angels join in with that kind of song. When one sinner repents. Loved and forgiven. A sinner saved by grace. If the Holy Spirit says, that's you. Maybe for the first time, say, thank you, Lord. I'll follow Jesus with His help. I'll be a child of His. Worship the Lord. He deserves your heart's praise. And you'll find purpose and life in Him. Let's pray as His people. Father, we thank You for You. What would we worship if it was not for you, Lord, as Peter said, where do we go? You're the one who has eternal life. And we have spent some of our days worshiping things that rust, things that moths eat. Some spend a lot of time worshiping ourselves. And that, how can we trade you for that? We pray for a heart to repent, to love you all the days of our life. Lord, what would our life look like if we loved you every day? Your light would shine. We thank you that Jesus can make that happen for each one of us, particularly, Lord, for any here who might not have ever received you. Might they know Jesus lives, they can be forgiven and loved, and Jesus to be saved by a gift. Might someone say, that's for me today. Jesus is for me. And they'll be one of the best worshipers we have in the church. Thank you for your kindness to each one here. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. A good song to the Lord. Lord, you are my all in all. And sing to Him as we praise Him.